Again, want to greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. It was awfully quiet in here this morning. When Harold asked for testimonies, it was awfully quiet. I think we need to get up for a minute. So if you would stand. Aaron, do you know the song, My God is So Big? Would you lead that and let's sing that song like we really mean it, like God is big. Thank you. You may be seated. God is big. Again, we were reminded as we were on vacation this past week of the greatness of God. We were in an area where there were so many mountains, and some of us climbed those mountains, were able to look down across the city of Phoenix. And again, I had to think of what man has created. All the houses, all the big city, nothing in comparison to what God does. What He does in our hearts, nothing in comparison to that. God is big. I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Ephesians 5. We've been going through the book of Ephesians. And we come to chapter 5, we've already talked about the first two verses. Now we come to a part where I kind of had decided this week as I was looking at this. I'm not going to touch on this a whole lot. I'm just going to kind of skim through this. It's a subject I don't like to talk about. But the Holy Spirit told me, no, you take some time this morning, you talk about this. Why is it important for me to talk about this? Let's look at Ephesians 5 verse 3. The title of my message this morning is Purity in the Church. Let me ask you first of all, who is the church? The believers. So that means it's not just members, but it's anybody who believes in Christ is part of the church. And I want to say right up front this morning, before I get into this message, we're going to be talking about some pretty touchy issues here this morning. I'm going to use some language that I don't like to use across the pulpit. But I want us to understand before we even get into this morning. There's a verse in 1 John 1:9 that said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want you to keep that verse in mind this morning as we go through this study, as we look at this scripture. There are those of us here this morning that would have awesome testimonies to talk about, to share, about purity, about having come through some difficulties, having faced some difficulties, come through shining. That's what the Holy Spirit is looking for. I don't want this message to be a message of condemnation. I want it to be a message that you understand if there are issues in your life that you haven't dealt with, there's opportunity this morning to deal with those issues. This is something I had to deal with. And I'm guessing everybody sitting here this morning had to deal with issues of purity. We're going to read chapter 5, verse 1 through 20. Follow along if you have your Bibles. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Then my message begins in verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become a saint, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. This is why I think it's so important that we look at this scripture. Because there is no inheritance for those that live in this and do not repent. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our theme for this year is Thy Kingdom Come. This is a kingdom of purity. It's a kingdom of holy living. Beginning in verse 2 of Ephesians 5 through the end of Ephesians has a lot to do with relationships. Relationships with God, relationships with those around us, relationships with our wives, our husbands. So we're going to be focusing a lot on relationships. Our relationship with the Father is to be holy, is to be pure. Our relationship as brothers and sisters in the church is to be holy, is to be pure. Paul's looking at three things here in verse 3. He says, but fornication, that is any kind of sexual activity outside of marriage, if you are married. And all uncleanness, that is any kind of sexual activity, whether you are married or not married. Or covetousness. We could look at covetousness here as being desiring more. But this is all in the context, I believe, of sexual activity. Wanting more of what we know we shouldn't have. He says, let it not once be named among you as become a saint. I get a little uncomfortable talking about this. But it's Bible. It's something we need to look at. I read an article. Forget, was it this morning or last night? We like to think of us as a church as being pure, and that's so important. But I read an article, I don't know where they came up with this, but it said 80%. Let me see if I can say this right. 80% of those that call themselves the church are involved in sexual activity, either outside of marriage or as youth. That was in 2012. That scares me. We wonder why we don't have victory in our churches. And let me say this right up front. If we are dabbling in things like this, things outside of what God desired of... Let me just go back a little bit. Something I wanted to say here earlier. God created this sexual activity within marriage to be beautiful. We have taken it, we have turned it around, and we've made something horrible out of it. We go to bed that night with guilt in our heart because it's a place where we really, really don't want to be. Paul is saying, don't let it be named, not let it once be named among you as become a saint. We've taken it as America. Can I say, as American churches, we've taken it and we've made it, if nobody knows about it, it's good. If I can get away with it, it's okay. My marriage is good, but it's going to be better if I can have an affair on the side. One of Satan's tactics. The Bible is very clear about keeping ourselves pure. Very clear. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. We're going to look at verse 3 through 7. It says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." That's to possess our body, to take care of a body in sanctification and honor. "Not in the lust of concupiscence." What a word. The word concupiscence means a desire for what is forbidden. "Even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud." That means to take advantage of his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger. He's the punisher of all such. As we also have forewarned you and testified. "For God hath not called us unto cleanness, unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." I'm going to read a couple more verses here about being pure. And I debated this morning doing nothing but just reading Scripture all morning. There are so many Scriptures that talk about being pure, that keeping yourselves pure. Colossians 3:5 says, "Mortify, therefore." Mortify means to kill, to put to death. "Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, "Flee fornication." I love to think about this. In the book of Proverbs, it talks so many times about the young man. Stay away from the prostitute. When there's opportunity, stay away. Here he says, flee. That means to run. Go the other direction as hard as you can go. Don't give it any opportunity. Flee fornication. "Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." But then a verse for us to remember is Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." Living in sexual sins will bring you to death. Proverbs has so many verses that talk about the man that walks after filth is headed towards death. He's going to end up in death. Let's drop on to verse 4 and 5. "Neither filthiness." Filthiness is talking about obscene stories. Stories that have sexual content that are no good. "Nor foolish talking, nor jesting." Jesting is coarse jokes about sexuality, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. "For ye know this, that no whoremonger..." A whoremonger is a male prostitute. Oh, but I'd never go there. "Nor unclean person, nor covetous man, which is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, Christ and of God." All right, so we would never consider this thing of adultery. We'd never consider this thing of male prostitution. But there's another phrase in here we need to look at. The next one, he says, "nor unclean person." An unclean person, according to what I studied in this, is someone that lets their thought life get out of hand. I read a story this morning, and again, I want to be careful what I share across the pulpit. But I read a story this morning that talked about the difference between purity and virginity. And I'm going to explain this a little bit. We look at virginity as being pure, keeping yourselves until marriage. That's good. That's how it's supposed to be. Matthew 5:27-28 says it this way, "Ye have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Do you see the difference? We look at virginity as being pure, and it is. It's good. We want to keep it that way if we can. Not if we can. We need to keep it that way. But is a person clean that is a virgin when they get married if their thought life is in the ditch? Is that purity? No. That is not purity. And I'm so thankful that we don't have to stay there. I'm so thankful that He continues to work on us. He continues to draw us closer to Him. And He's so willing to forgive us and make us clean, make us pure. Let's go on down to verse 6 and 7. And here's a little bit of a catchy part. Let no man deceive you with vain words. What are these vain words? The vain words that he's talking about here is to not let somebody deceive you, trying to get you to believe that it's okay. If nobody finds out that you're involved with somebody else in your marriage, it's okay. If nobody knows that you're messing around as a youth, it's okay. Those are the vain words that he's talking about. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. Stay away from it. The wrath of God is real. There's also those that would say, yeah, this is, we're human. These are just unavoidable frailties of our human nature. I can't help that my mind goes there. Let me challenge you with this thought. As you get on your knees day by day, as you seek the Scriptures, as you commit yourself to God more and more, deeper and deeper, there is victory. I want to tell you that there is victory. Yeah, Satan continues to bring thoughts into your mind from time to time, but you don't have to dwell on them. There's victory. Believe it. Take it. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Walk in a way that God wants you to walk. I believe that's one of our catches today in our Mennonite churches. We have chosen not to live in the Spirit. And I want to say this carefully. But we've chosen not to live in the Spirit. We've chosen to make everything look good. We show up for church and it's all good. We go back to work throughout our everyday life. We fall right back into the same thing because we have chosen to function without the Spirit. Friends, it's so important this morning that our hearts are in line with God. That the Holy Spirit is within us. If the Holy Spirit is not within us, we're not going to have victory. We're going to continue to fall right back into the same thing over and over. Until we come to the place where we think there is no hope. But as long as you have breath, as long as you have life, there is hope. There is opportunity to turn back to God. To be faithful to Him, to allow Him to wash you. There's nothing like being filled with the Spirit. There's nothing like coming to God on our knees and knowing that there's a relationship that you have with Him. There's times you want to just cry out. There's times you want to just be filled with more. God, give me more. It's such a peaceful, such a beautiful thing. I know what it is not to have it. I know what it is to be on my knees and be begging. But I wasn't willing to give up. Until I'm willing to give up, give Him my whole life, let Him take care of everything, lead every area of my life, I'm going to have a fight. We are to be Christians that are continually growing. There's never a place we come to, even if we feel that we have the Holy Spirit, we're walking in the Spirit, there's never a place where we come to where we say, now I've achieved, now I'm going to coast. No. Don't ever believe that. We are in a continual process of growth. Again, I want to use Romans 8:1. I've used this verse so many times, and I'm going to continue to use it because it's so beautiful. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. If we're walking in the Spirit, if we confess, and we bring it to Him like 1 John 1:9 says, we have no condemnation. We're clean. We're free. I desire for all of us to experience that this morning. We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We come to verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. There was a time when we lived in darkness. I want you to think about how to be I guess we kind of imagine this, don't have to imagine this so much here in Michigan. How would it be if we didn't have sun for days on end? It gets pretty gray and dreary here sometimes. What if we had no sun? S-U-N, sun. What if we had no sun? How long could we live? I don't know, I didn't research this. But I'm guessing we get to the place eventually, the plants would die. The oxygen that we would need in the air to breathe would be gone. We would die. Let me ask you how it is when we have no sun. S-O-N. See, that's how too many of us want to function. We want to function without the sun. S-O-N. And expect that everything is going to be good. Life is going to continue. But I want you to know, without the sun, S-O-N, we're dead. We die. Excuse me. John 8:12 says it this way, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." We're a reflection of Him. We have that light within us. We don't have the light so many times because we really don't desire a relationship. We are enjoying ourselves living in sin. It's important that we look at the end of life, that we look at eternity. How much am I in love with Jesus? Or am I in love with Jesus? And He talks in verse 9 and 10 about the fruit of the Spirit. That's what's going to come out of us if we are walking in holiness. Proving what is acceptable, determining what pleases the Lord. Then in verse 13 and 14, it talks a little bit... Actually, we missed verse 11 here. "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Not only staying away from them, but when we have opportunity to cautiously correct and to reprove the works of darkness. I want to put out a little bit of a challenge on this one. I have seen where people have come to sin and where they have rebuked the sinner in a very derogatory, I guess is the word to use, way. In a way there was no tact. Where I believe it created a wall that was worse than what it was before. When you share with a brother or with a sinner, somebody that's not walking with the Lord, share in a way of love. Share in a way that you care from your heart. And I believe we'll find that it's a whole lot easier to be on the same page to help somebody when we do it out of love. Let's go down to verse 14. Challenge that's given here in verse 14. He says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life." Opportunity to awake. Opportunity to come in line with Christ, with the Father. He'll give us that light. Then he says to walk circumspectly. Walk wise, not as fools. Walk wise. Verse 16 says, "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." Are days evil today? What do you think? We're in a time where the days are terrible. I have to think back what he says about it like it was in the days of Noah. We know what happened in the days of Noah. There was only 8 of them that were considered right with God. He says that's how it's going to be in the end. I'm afraid we're getting awfully close. The days are evil. He says, redeem the time. How am I using my time? Am I using it wisely? Maybe it'd be a good thing for us to form a habit of, before we make a decision, of whether this is a moral decision or any kind of decision, to stop and think about it for a while. Be wise. Use our time wisely. Unwise, verse 17 says, not to be unwise, that is to act without thinking. But understanding, that is to consider what the will of the Lord is. How many times this week did I, in my decisions, stop and think about it? Lord, is this really what you would like for me to do? How many times this week did I pray the prayer before I left the house in the morning? God, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. Would you go with me? No, I know we do that without really thinking about it. But I challenge you to turn that around. God, today I'm following you. Would you lead me today? And with that prayer, why don't we pray, God, why don't you lead me to somebody today that I can bless? I think you'll be surprised who you'll meet that day. Opportunities you have to bless people. Down to verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What happens when we become drunk with wine? We're intoxicated. We can't think straight. He says, I don't want you to be intoxicated with wine. Now, that's really not his focus here. But he said, I want you to be intoxicated with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Understand what the word intoxicated here is. I like to think about it as when I water a tree, I saturate it. It gets soaking wet. That is how we are to be with the Spirit. We are to be filled. We're to be saturated. We're to be intoxicated with the Spirit. The better option than being intoxicated with the contents of the bottle is to be intoxicated. I can't even say this. The better option than being intoxicated with a bottle is to be intoxicated with the Spirit. What is it to be filled with the Spirit? We already talked some about this. It doesn't happen without seeking God. Are we willing to take time to seek the Father? Being filled with the Spirit is not something that happens because I just made a decision today I'm going to be filled with the Spirit and tomorrow it's going to be different. Being filled with the Spirit is something that happens as we seek. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. We need to live Spirit-filled lives. Turn with me to Galatians 5. We're going to close with these verses. Let's go to verse 22. Now I want to challenge you this morning as believers, as we read through these next three verses, I want you to think about your life. Are these things that are showing up in your everyday walk? If we're walking in the Spirit, we're going to see them. If we're not walking in the Spirit, these are not going to look like they're very familiar to you. Listen closely. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Do I have love in my heart? To the brother or sister that frustrates me, do I still love them? Joy. Am I living with joy? I'll be honest with you, there was a long time that I didn't live with joy in my heart. When you think about nobody but yourself, you don't have joy in your heart. Do I have joy in my heart? Peace. Can I honestly go to bed at night and lay down with a peace in my heart, knowing that should He return during the night, I'm going with Him? A peace in your heart. Long-suffering. Am I long-suffering with the brotherhood? Am I gentle? Is there a goodness that comes out of my heart? Am I full of faith? Am I meek? Shall we skip over the next one? What's the next one? What's it say on there? Temperance. What does temperance mean? self-control. I find this is one of the hardest ones for me. Self-control, temperance. I love to eat. Do I have self-control when I eat? That's a tiny little area in our life. We could list a whole bunch of things there. Temperance. That's a fruit of the Spirit. I always want more. Am I satisfied with where Jesus has placed me? Am I satisfied with the income that He's given me? I'm not saying you can't have a good job. Sure you can. And if you need to do something else to generate more income, that's fine. But are you doing it because you have covetousness in your heart? Temperance. Against such there is no law. What about verse 24? And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That kind of wraps it up pretty good here, doesn't it? If we're walking in the Spirit, then we have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. I guess my desire this morning is that all of us would consider our lives. Where are we at this morning? Are we walking in the Spirit? Are we walking in a way that just suits us? In a way that is displeasing to the Father? I can't stand here this morning and point into your lives because I don't know what all goes on in your lives. But I know somebody who does. He sees your heart. And if it's clean and pure, He's rejoicing over you. He's singing over you. But I believe if our hearts are dirty, if our hearts are filthy, we have stuff that's hidden in our hearts. He still loves us. And I believe He's drawing us closer to Himself. And if we only allow Him to, He will clean us up. Would you stand this morning as we pray? Father, this morning, You know our hearts. You know each one of us, Lord, that's in this building this morning. Lord, our desire is to walk with You, to be holy. I know, Lord, sometimes it is a struggle to keep our thought life pure. But, Father, that's not an excuse, because You promised that You would provide for us whatever we face. And, Lord, when the times get too difficult, You're there to carry us. You won't leave us alone, and we bless You for that. Father, would You speak into each one of our hearts this morning? I just pray that You would help us, Lord, to be open before You and to allow You to do a cleansing work in our lives. We bless You, Lord. We love You. We ask that You would dismiss us with Your blessing. In Your name we pray. Amen.